Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
So let's pray before we get underway. Father, we just thank you for your word, and I pray that, Lord, we want to see you glorified tonight. But Father, I pray that you would give us all a greater understanding of who you are. And you know, we think of the three-in-one Godhead and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we're focusing on the Holy Spirit tonight, but Father, it's the Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit is part of two others as well. And so, Lord, let us remember that. And Father, I pray that, you know, we just know that you sent your Holy Spirit as a helper, as a comforter, and Counselor, there's many reasons you sent the Holy Spirit, but you sent the Holy Spirit for us. You said, I can't send the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said, I can't send the Holy Spirit until I leave. And so, Father, we just want to give you thanks for tonight. And so I just pray that our hearts would be open to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the Holy Spirit. Last year, for the young adults, some of the young adults here would have been on young adults camp, and I did a similar sort of message, not quite the same as tonight. It was a bit longer. We had a bit more time at young adults camp, but tonight it'll be a little bit shorter. And I guess in the words of Pastor Oxley in the past, it will be mountaintops only, but you can follow along with the scripture, and so they're there for you. Firstly, I want to start with John 12:32. Just before I do that, Dave's message this morning was a great message, and I loved his story about the man that he met in New York. And it's a classic example of someone listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit and stepping out into that and being obedient, listening to the Holy Spirit and the outworking of what takes place. And sometimes we hear those stories and I think we say, well, that's a nice story. And we never put ourselves in the place of that could actually happen to us. But for each and every person that's here, if you are a Christian, God sent the Holy Spirit to be in your life and to speak to you and for you to listen. That's every single one of you. It's not just the pastors. It's every single one of you. No one's any different. You know, God, he says he's no respecter of persons in the sense that he gives to each one of you. He gives gifts and he has given the Holy Spirit to each one of you. So please, I just encourage you, don't sit here tonight and go, well, that's not for me, because that's not the deal. That's not what the Word of God says. It's for each and every person, and to engage in the process of the helper that has been sent for us. And so, you know, that story of Dave's this morning was a classic example. We saw an incredible outworking of one person being obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So let's just go back to John 12:32. It'll be on the screens as well. And it says, And I, when I am lifted up, this is Jesus talking, from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. And so this is Jesus. When Jesus is at the center of things, he will draw all people to himself. And a little bit later in John 16, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And it says, he will glorify and honor me because he, the Holy Spirit, will take from what is mine and will disclose it to you. So this is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. And he says that he's talking to the disciples, and he said he will disclose it to you. So each and every one, the Holy Spirit will disclose to you and is available to disclose to you what was being spoken, you know, what was Jesus was talking to his disciples about. So it is just so important that we, like I said before, don't sit back and think, well, it's not for me, but it is for you. And it's just really important that we understand and get that. And the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit's at work, people will be drawn to the Father. Because Jesus said, and when I am lifted up from the earth, all men will be drawn to me. They'll be drawn to himself. So when the Holy Spirit is at work, because the Holy Spirit says here, he will glorify and honor me. So when the Holy Spirit is at work, people are going to be drawn to the Father. And so it's really important to know that the Holy Spirit's not going to work opposing to the message of Jesus. It's really important to understand that. So when the Holy Spirit's at work in your life, you get an understanding of what lines up with who God is and how he is. And you can use scripture to go, well, this is the Holy Spirit speaking. And I was speaking to someone this morning, and they said it was interesting, and I won't use the example, how some people say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. And it was totally contrary to the Word of God. And I thought, that's not really the Holy Spirit speaking, because it won't be contrary to what the Word of God says. So it's important to know and understand that that's part of how we get our understanding of how the Holy Spirit works. It will not be contrary to the Word of God. Okay, so John 14, 26 to 27, a little bit further down, says, but the Helper, the Comforter, the Advocate, the Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, and the Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. And listen to this, and this is why I love the Amplified. It says, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will help you remember everything that I have told you. So similar to the scripture in John 16 and 14. So this is Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit. So I get a little bit concerned when I hear that there's been a cessation of the Holy Spirit and the gifts and everything like that. And I just think, that's not what the Word of God says to me. And I haven't been able to line it up with Scripture and find that the work of the Holy Spirit has ceased in this age that we live in. And that it was only for directly after, you know, for the disciples. I just cannot see anything that lines up for that. And so the Holy Spirit was for all of us, and I believe for every Christian who has ever found relationship with God. Okay, so Acts 1, 4 to 8. And this is kind of the beginning of when things take place after Jesus was crucified and that he rose again. He said, once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And as probably most of you know, but let me give understanding, one of the key evidences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. Okay, now I'm going to go through the gifts later to just distinguish about a couple of things in that. But one of the key things that took place at Pentecost was that people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I think 3,000 of them spoke in tongues. And you know, for some that's a bit weird and it's a bit strange, and we don't fully get the full understanding of God why that is you know, apparent in the Word and why it happens to people. I'm not going to ask people to put their hands up. I personally know that I speak in tongues, and it was something that I really battled with for a few years and struggled with, and I know others have too. But I just want to say to you that I don't believe that just because you don't speak in tongues doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit. For some reason, some struggle with it, and it's a battle. But I don't want you to sit here and get all hung up on the fact that if you don't speak in tongues, that you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because for some reason, there are some people who they don't, you know, operate in the gift or don't have the gift of speaking in tongues. And so don't get hung up on it. Now, if that's something you desire and something you want, I mean, I'd love to pray for you for it. But please understand, it's probably the key evidence of the Holy Spirit. But I've known Christians who are just amazing Christians, and they've never spoken in tongues in all their life. And so they're different experiences for different people, but please don't get hung up on it. And so 1 Corinthians 14:25, and this next slide, the next little bit, talks a little bit about speaking in tongues. And so if you can follow that, if we've got that next slide up there, that's right. For he who speaks in a tongue, this is Paul speaking, but for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he prophesies edifies the church. He who prophesies edifies the church. And this is Paul speaking, and he says, and this to me clears up a couple of things in this verse 5. He says, I wish you all spoke in tongues. So he says, I wish you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. So that line alone says that not everyone's necessarily going to speak in tongues, but it's a gift, like the speaking in tongues. It is something worth desiring. So the three things with speaking in tongues, and I just want to cover this speaking in tongues bit so we can delineate a couple of things further down the track. Firstly, it says in the scripture that you speak to God when you speak in tongues. Secondly, that you speak mysteries. And you know, in verse 2, you know, it's mysteries between you and God, and you don't sometimes, like for most people, they don't understand what they're saying. Some people do; they can interpret their own tongue. And three, that it edifies himself. So when you speak in tongues, it's like you're bringing edification and encouragement to yourself. And I know there's been times where I've been struggling with different things, and I spend some time speaking in tongues, and it does edify my spirit, and so it's an important thing. If you have the gift of speaking in tongues, and that's something that you operate in, then I encourage you, use it. Speak in tongues. Don't let it lie down. Don't put it aside. Speak in tongues, because it's an important thing. This scripture isn't saying that tongues is bad. It's just showing a difference between tongues and prophecy to help. It was to help the Corinthian church to understand things. All right. So speaking in tongues, and I would love to pray for someone. If you say I haven't got the I don't speak in tongues, and I'd love to pray for you after for that, or even one of the leaders could pray for you after that. There's no problem with that. All right. So I just wanted to start with talking about when the Holy Spirit came. And like I say, it's a bit mountaintops tonight. But when the Holy Spirit came, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, 3,000 came into the church, and there was speaking in tongues and all sorts of crazy stuff going on. And the power of God was really evident. I wanted to do that to lead in, because tonight I really want to go through the spiritual gifts that are in the book of 1 Corinthians. And I have some titles there, little titles, which I did with the young adults last year. And they've got just a little bit of understanding with them. And the first one is Live Out. The second one is Find Out. The third one is Work Out. And the fourth one I didn't put on there because I've just added it today. But it's in. I guess it's in accordance with what Dave spoke about this morning. The fourth one is step out. All right. So if we look at, so you can write step out at the end when we come to it. Live out. And I put in brackets there, live out of relationship. And, you know, Matt spoke this morning about the relationship we have when he spoke about communion. And we've got to understand that the Christian life is out of relationship with our Heavenly Father. And the Holy Spirit is there to guide us through life and speak to us, things that God wants to see happen and see changes. And it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Saviour, he is a new creation, reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. So at that point, when we come into Christ, we are reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because a spiritual awakening brings new life. And in John 15:5, and I just want to very briefly just touch on a little bit of the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. In John 15 says, and this is the relationship part, I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. Otherwise, apart from me, that is cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. Now, a lot of people with the fruit of the Spirit, they think, well, I'd love to be more patient. And, you know, I'd like to be more kind. I'd like to be more faithful. And what Galatians is saying, and I'll read it in a minute, but Galatians is saying, and what we see here in John, is that in relationship with God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that will be the fruit of what takes place of the Spirit in our lives. So that's going to be the fruit. So we can try all we like, but unless it's the Spirit that is empowering us, you know, that the fruit of the Spirit is going to be something that, you know, we're going to struggle and try to do. But it's the Holy Spirit in our lives that brings that fruit. So it says in Galatians 5, 22, 23, but the Holy Spirit produces, this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. The gifts are things that God gives different to each one. The fruit happens out of relationship with the Father. Now, they all happen out of relationship, but it says the fruit happens out of relationship. So just distinguishing between the two. Okay, so now we're going to move into the gifts of the Spirit. And the next title I have, so we had live out of relationship. The next title I had is find out. So 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. To each one. Remember what I said before? To each one. If you are a Christian here tonight, to each one of you has been given the manifestation of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, you know, you may not see it as evident, and the word talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, you know, there's some conjecture about this, and I don't want to get into this tonight, but for some here, you may have said, well, I've never really seen the evidence of the Holy Spirit in my life. Once again, we'd be happy to pray for you for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so can I encourage you, don't put it down and say, well, this isn't for me, because the Word of God says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit. And in brackets it says there, excuse me, the spiritual illumination and the enabling of the Holy Spirit for the common good. Okay, so what does it mean by for the common good? So God gives gifts to you, and it's not about you. I know some people might be sitting here and you might be sad about that and say, I wish it's about me. But when it says the common good, that means it's for the good. And most of what it talks about in Corinthians is for the good of the body of Christ. Now, I know I've seen gifts in use for people. Someone might have had a word of knowledge for someone that isn't a Christian, and their life's changed because of the word of knowledge. Now, that story this morning, case in point, the lady had listened to for the voice of the Holy Spirit and acted, and we'd seen a man who came back to God because of, I would probably call that a word of knowledge that she's received about a certain situation, but whatever you want to call it, was the voice of the Holy Spirit at work. And so the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for the common good. So it's not for us to say, look, you know, I'm a fantastic word of knowledge person, or I'm, you know, a fantastic prophet, and it's for the common good. So when we sit there and go, I'm not interested in the Holy Spirit, God could be working, doing a work through you by the Holy Spirit, which could see someone else's life totally changed, could turn their life upside down, and that's a message that God is wanting to put through you. So can I encourage you again, be open to the work of the Holy Spirit and the understanding thereof of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So, the common good. Romans talks about how there is one body and there's different gifts. So we're all different. We're one body of Christ, but there's different gifts. So we all have different gifts, and that's okay. And so it says, according to the measure of faith that God has given you. So don't worry about the measure of faith that God's given someone else. It's according to the measure of faith that God has given you. Because he loves you, he cares about you, and he knows what's best for you, and he knows how he's created you and how you operate. So don't get caught up on comparisons either. It's important you don't do that. All right. And like, you know, like I said before, but it's, you are not an island. It is about glorifying God and benefiting others, not you. And when we operate the gifts of the Spirit, there's a natural, I think there's a supernatural outworking that does outwork in our lives. So it does, in a sense, benefit you, but that's not the purpose. It's about us operating in the Holy Spirit to see an outworking for the kingdom of God. Okay, so there's three things here about the gifts of the Spirit. Excuse me while I take a drink. Oh, Steph, this is probably the fastest I've ever spoken, I reckon. I can see, you know, Steph's just, she'd do a million words a minute. I don't know how many I do, but I'm feeling like I'm speaking too fast. So firstly, when you go, well, I'm not sure about, you know, what spiritual gift. Now, I asked Matt, it was interesting, I asked Matt on Thursday, I said, Matt, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? And I don't want to go into the answer, but there was a little bit of unsurety of where they were. And so sometimes with a spiritual gift, you know, when we'll go through the nine spiritual gifts, sometimes it's, do they actually resonate with you? Do you read the gifts and go, well, that actually resonates with me? It there's something in it that like goes off inside of me that says, I'd love to operate in that gift. Now, like I say, it's not about the glory for you, but it's about the glory for God. But sometimes God gives us this understanding inside, so we're almost encouraged ourselves to go, well, that is something that that I would operate in. Secondly, ask a friend or a mentor, and a friend if they've got runs on the board and understand this, maybe what they observe in your life. I've got friends that I've seen them and how they work, and I've got a bit of an understanding of some gifts that they operate in. Now, I'm not telling you to go and tell people what their gifts are, but you can even ask them to pray about it, to say, well, I really want to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I'm not sure what they are. God, show me what they are. And so pray about it yourself, get someone else to pray about it, and be patient as God outworks. Okay, so the next title I had is Workout. It is the supernatural. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 6 says, and there are distinctive ways of working to accomplish things, but it is the same God who produces all things in all believers, inspiring, energizing, and empowering them. And in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 6, where it says there are ways of working to accomplish things, working in the Greek means a power that is in operation. So it's a supernatural power that goes beyond what we could otherwise do. So not a natural understanding, it's a supernatural power. So it's a power of God that is in operation through the work of the Holy Spirit. So let's just quickly read the gifts. And like I say, I don't want to spend too much time. I think it was Graham was telling me last week that when they had some of the teaching sessions earlier, I'm just trying to remember who it was we were talking about, Derek Prince, that he would talk for about 4 hours like this. He would get up for 4 hours and he'd talk like this, and then they'd pray for people. And it's interesting that the foundation of the Word of God is just so important in getting understanding, that we know and understand the depth of it through the Word. And so it's not just this airy-fairy feeling that we're looking for, but we get a foundation of understanding. And I encourage everyone here tonight, do some more research into the gifts of the Holy Spirit, okay? Do some more research into it. So let's just read 1 Corinthians 12, 8-11. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work. Now let's go back to just what I said before, working in the Greek, a power that is an operation. So all these are a power that is an operation of one the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So you know how I said before, like, you know, a gift that resonates with you. Well, God's going to give you the gift that works for you. All right, now that make the resonate thing might be something of excitement, but that's okay. Maybe that's what got the gift that God has given you. And so just read that 11 again. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Now, just before I go into just quickly explaining the gifts, I want to give you this last one, and it's step out. One of the scariest things that you do when you operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit is you've got to step out into it. And you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And look, I think I've told some stories here before, but you know, when I've had some ridiculous pictures when I've been praying for people, or you know, something that I thought, God, this just does not make any sense. And I speak like I go, right, oh God, I've just got to trust that it's you. Now, I'll say this, we're human, we don't always get it right. And I tell the story, there was someone I was praying for a few years ago, and the word that in prayer that I had for this person was the answers you seek are in the steps that you take. And when I prayed the prayer, I was trying to work out in my mind, what does that mean, God? And I was trying to pray around it and everything like this. And this is really, really quite simple. I had no idea that this person actually was walking every morning, was walking around the oval. Every morning, all they were doing was walking around the oval for about half an hour. I had no idea that they were doing that. Now, I know that you know, that may not be mind-boggling to you, but God was just confirming that the answers that they were looking for continue to keep pressing into God in the steps that you take. Now, that was just crazy. I had no idea what was going on, but that was what God gave me, and I stepped out into that. Now, I'm not trying to boast, but I'm just saying sometimes you're not going to know. It's like Dave talking about how he prayed for that lady this morning at the art gallery. Sometimes you're not going to know how it's going to outwork. And you know what? That's God's business. And that's where the faith element that we walk into is stepping out into it, and sometimes it's scary. But if you don't have a crack, if you don't step out, you're never going to know. And then the second part of the step out is you've got to practice. It's important that we practice, because as we practice, it's like any relationship. In discussion with each other, relationship grows. And so with relationship growing, trust grows. And so then you get to know and understand greater the voice of the Holy Spirit and go, I can trust that voice. And if it lines up with the Word of God, then you can trust it even more. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, then you know where it's coming from. All right, but it's just so important that we step out and we practice in those places or the gifts that God has given us. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to go through the nine gifts. Now, when I did this with the young adults, we talked about some more administrational gifts, and I don't want to get into that tonight. There is more in the Word about that, but I want to focus on these nine gifts. Okay. And so the first they call like what would be the revelation gifts. Now, if you can think of the Holy Spirit, these gifts, they would be things that you otherwise wouldn't have been able to think of yourself, all right? So the first one is the word of knowledge. And it says the word of knowledge is simply the Holy Spirit transmitting his specific knowledge to you on something that you would have no ability or means to able to know about with your own limited intelligence and knowledge levels. And so that's the word of knowledge. The word of wisdom, wisdom that is otherwise, again, beyond your own ability, I couldn't have come up with that myself. And there are times in your life where we try so hard to rely on our own ability to work through a situation or work through something's happened, or someone comes to you and asks for advice and you go, well, I can't think of it. That's the time you go, Holy Spirit, I need you. Now, I believe sometimes in these things, you might think, well, that's not my gifting, and that's cool. But there are some times where God will, in a certain situation, that one of these gifts will become apparent, and you thought, I've never seen that or known that before in my life. But we've got to believe God that the Holy Spirit will give us what we need for the time that we're in, all right? Now, discernment of spirits. I love this particular one, and I really like this because I love seeing evil put aside and pressed down and seeing God in victory where you can see evil around. This is a supernatural revelation or insight into the realm of spirits to detect their presence and plans. So you know, something might be going on and there might be some people involved with it, and you might discern that something's not quite right. Now there's some people that are, you know, more, you know, they're more open to understanding of these things. But if that's you, if that's something that, you know, that might resonate with you, can I encourage you, ask God to show you into those situations. Ask God to show you when you get into a situation where you just think something's not quite right, then ask God, okay, Holy Spirit, work in and through me and help me to know what's going on. And because it could be, you know, you could be dealing with a minefield of things where there is a wrong spirit in operation, and God might give you an answer into how that outworks, and it might have a real positive outworking when it otherwise may not have. But once again, you need a bit of courage to step out into that. Okay, so the power gifts. Now, Dave talked about miracles this morning, and so these are the power gifts. First one is faith. People with this gift have such a great confidence in the power and promises of God that they can stand strong in their belief no matter what may try to shake them. This is a supernatural ability to believe God without human doubt, unbelief and reasonings. So these people, does anyone here believe that they have the actual gift of faith? Does anyone believe gift of faith? Yeah, we've got a couple of people who believe that they have the gift of faith, and that's awesome. But they're not shaken. they're not shaken, and believe God that can come through in no matter what the circumstances. So the second one is healing, the healing of all manner of sickness, and you know that could be body sickness, but it could be mental or even spiritual sickness, by supernatural power without human aid or medicine. Excuse me. Miracles is a supernatural power to intervene in the ordinary course of nature and to counteract natural laws if necessary. Now, as simply as I can describe, well, what's the difference between a miracle and healing? Well, sometimes healing can be something that's in a process of time, and so can a miracle too, but generally a miracle will be just an instantaneous wow. We can all see that at work. Now, I know that there are some people that they've been told they have a certain sickness, they've been prayed for by two or three people, and they've told it's going to be, they're going to have this for a long period of time, and their time's cut in, you know, by months or years or whatever, and yet they've been prayed for early, but they've seen healing in their life. So sometimes the healing and miracle thing can cross over in those situations. And of course, as Dave shared this morning from Kings, that was a different kind of miracle that God intervened in that situation. So the last three are the vocal ones. And these often, believe it or not, and this is the amusing thing, because of humanity, these often are the ones that can cause some issues, the vocal gifts. You know, the prophecy gifts, because sometimes the human mind gets in the way and people make mistakes or they don't hear it right, or they're not operating out of a right spirit. But because they're the vocal gifts, sometimes these can cause some issues. And so first one is prophecy. Prophecy is the supernatural utterance in the native tongue. It is a miracle of divine utterance not conceived by human thought or reasoning. It includes speaking unto men to edification, exhortation and comfort. So three things. So I don't want to get too much into the judgment of prophecy, but understand if someone prophesies, if it's not for edification, if it's not for exhortation and it's not for comfort, then you just need to go, yeah, not sure about what that's all about. And so, I don't want to get totally into the individual one. The second one is different kinds of tongues. The supernatural utterance in other languages that are known to the speaker. Okay, so let me just explain. You might go, well, what's the difference between that and speaking in tongues? Okay, so we've had in the last, ever since I've been at this church, often on a Sunday morning you might have someone who brings a tongue. Okay, so this is that sort of tongue. It's out loud. And it's for the congregation. And then, and this next part, which I'll explain in a minute, is then there's an interpretation of that tongue. Now that's, you know, as we read in Corinthians, it talks that that's an important order in church. That what I read before about, you know, speaking in tongues for the personal side of things is different to this tongue, okay? This is a different sort of tongue. All right, because it's in the word it says for order in church. If a tongue is brought out loud, then there needs to be interpretation. All right, so is that clear? Everyone understand that nod? Yep, cool. All right, so that's the difference between the personal gift. So if you've got a personal gift of tongues, or you speak in tongues, you don't need to go around looking for an interpretation from people if you're speaking in tongues. All right, but if it's out loud in church, that's what the word of God says. All right. So lastly, the interpretation of tongues. The supernatural ability to interpret in the native tongue what is uttered in other languages not known by the one who interprets by the Spirit. So these are, I can go more into this, but that's important to know that these nine gifts are what Corinthians talks about. And so So it's not the speaking in tongues that we hear about in Acts. It's a different type of thing. And sometimes people get those things mixed up.